Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of Pod Strickland. I'm your host, Schwinnyhoo, in this episode 392. I'm joined on this, the eve of the playoffs on this Thursday night. I'm joined by my co-host Prez, that is at underscore Presidente on Twitter, slash X, slash whatever the fuck Elon's going to name it next. Prez, how are you doing?
I'm good. I always forget that the play-in and stats accumulated therein are not playoffs, nor are they regular season, and they just live in this weird abyss where everything counts and nothing counts.
I don't understand. I actually hate that. I don't get why they're just not counted as playoff stats. Like, I don't know. I don't really think you're cheapening anything. I think it's fine. Kobe White's exists. Kobe White's stats and performance should exist somewhere in the annals and history books of the NBA, but we're not here to debate that. But we are joined by SJ, that is at SJBasketball8 on Twitter. She is a co-host of the 21 Going on 77 podcast. SJ, how are you doing on the eve of your playoff matchup?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Yeah, just can't wait to, you know, sit and watch the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, looking forward to the playoffs. Hopefully my guys do us proud. The Mavericks play on Sunday. They play at 3:30 on Sunday. The Knicks play at 6 on Saturday. We're going to talk about all that. But before we do, I have to make a few announcements. The first week of the Strickland has an Instagram. Check that out. That is at the Strickland. And Instagram, we are posting all kinds of new content on there. The Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you may be watching this podcast. If you've not done so already, please like, subscribe to the channel. Leave us a like. Leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. The Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website, www.strick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store, and you can find all kinds of cool stuff there. We just dropped a new line of merch, the Nova York line. Fantastic stuff, if I may say so myself, largely because I had no creative control, because I'm not a creative person. Shout out to all the people who are creative. Strickland also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland, this podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to Takes from Obvious Bozos, our newest podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And you get access to the Strickland Discord with conversation never stops. There are further tiers. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, my solo pod, where I rant rave with the next year more. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, one of the best in the business. And now you get access to Strictly NFL, which you guessed it is our NFL podcast that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers, $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. There's going to be a variety of additional benefits like listening on pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not. None of this would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right.
I have an important question for everyone to start us off.
If this is about the draft, I'm going to punch you in the face.
In a plot twist, it is actually not about the draft. But that was a good guess. No, here's my question. Is Jontay Porter a better basketball player or gambler?
Oh, wow. Definitely a better basketball player, because my man does not understand the risk-reward here very well. Gave up an NBA career for, what is it, $21,000 or something like that? You made it? Ah, man, that's... Well, the special brain cells going on in that family. That's one thing we can say for sure.
Definitely.
just a lot of intelligence flowing around the Porter Jr. family.
Look, we all have our gifts, and we all have things that are not our strengths, okay?
Don't exactly. Judge.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Knicks do play the Philadelphia 76ers on Saturday, 6 p.m. That game is at MSG, at the Garden. The Knicks have home court. Assuming they get through the first round, they would also have home court in the second round. Because unlike the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Knicks actually don't duck smoke. I don't know if you guys saw this. I don't know if you guys saw this quote today from Darius Garland, but he was like, "We don't duck the smoke." And I was like, "I don't know, dude. I looked an awful lot like you were trying to duck some kind of smoke there the last day of the season." But yeah, look, the Knicks are in this position. They played to win the game. They got to 50 wins. I was happy with that decision. I remain happy with that decision. And they got the second seed. They play Philadelphia in the first round. And I got to say, look, I know the play-in is what it is, and it's a weird thing. And, you know, look, the Heat were on the verge of being out in the play-in last year, and they ended up making the NBA Finals. So, and the Lakers made the Western Conference Finals last year, and they were in the play-in. So it's not like a guarantee that just because you struggled all year, or you struggled in the play-in or whatever, that you're going to be bad. But my main takeaway from that play-in game yesterday was just like, I mean, look, Embiid had a nice fourth quarter, a really good one. But I just don't trust him in a playoff series for the whole time, physically, to hold up. Like, he looked really creaky out there. His first three quarters were rough. He had no lift around the rim. There was one possession in the second quarter where he was, like, basically at the rim, and the rim protector was Kevin Love, and he couldn't finish it. He did not finish it. And when I see stuff like that from him, I don't know. I think he can still probably have bouts of good shooting, but even there, you can tell he's not getting off the ground that much. Not that he's he gets crazy lift on his jumper anyway, but looks a little flatter than normal. I don't know. Like, I respect him for actually coming back this year at all. I don't know how wise that is given his injury history, his size, his age, obviously, and the nature of his injury, but I do respect that he came back. Because they wouldn't have had a chance to even make the playoffs, I don't think, without him. They were really bad. And he did play well at the end, but I feel really good about this matchup right now for the Knicks. I think the Knicks have better depth. Joel, being in whatever condition he's in right now, just seems like a reduced version of himself. Maybe he heals up by Saturday or whatever, but even then, like, you know, he missed the last two games of the season, even for this. And he didn't look sharp yesterday. Not sharp. Sharp's the wrong word, but he just did not look close to, you know, he didn't even look like he was like 80% full out of that game. It was pretty rough. Going against the Knicks team that you know is going to be physical and is going to make you compete the entire time, just the way that Miami did yesterday. I don't know. I feel good about the Knicks matchup. I felt good about this matchup even prior to this stuff with Embiid, just seeing how he was, because I just think we just match up well with them. I don't think they have anybody that guards Brunson particularly well, and I think we actually have multiple guys that we can throw on Maxey that can give him different looks. I like our shooting better. The only thing for me, and honestly, this is what I think it all comes down to for the Knicks anyway, is the non-Brunson minutes. They've been brutal all year. I'm writing a piece right now on why he should be first team all NBA. And honestly, I think I don't even need to write the piece. I could just like show the fucking splits of how we play with him on, how we play with him off. And you can play around with whoever is on and off with him, and it doesn't really matter. It's just him. He just is that valuable to their offense. But yeah, how the Knicks fare in those minutes without him will be a big deal too. But yeah, I don't know. I feel good about this matchup. I think the Knicks are in a good spot. And also, like, you know, yesterday Philly was, they didn't do a particularly good job of cleaning the glass, against Miami, and Philadelphia has not really been a very strong rebounding team in general. I think they've improved this year. I can look it up right now, but they are.
Yeah. Cause if you can bother 25th. If you can bother Joel, dude, like, who else is hitting the glass?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. They're 25th in defensive rebound percentage. The Knicks are the number one offensive rebounding team in the league. They should be destroying them on the glass. And, you know, just to kind of drive home that advantage even more, like, Miami is the 24th offensive rebounding team in the league. And I thought they killed Philly on the offensive glass yesterday. So, I don't know. I just think the Knicks are trending in the right direction. I liked that they played they took every game seriously into the end of the season when they didn't have to, when they could have let up, honestly, and tried to play for seeding. And I like that. I mean, not I'm not saying this, obviously, like, I don't like it, but you look at how Joel looked last night, and I don't know. I just think it's a tough sledding for Philly.
Yeah. Yeah. That game, Heat versus 76ers, was a complete shit show. It was like a college basketball game. I was like, multiple times I was watching this and I was like, why am I watching this? But it's like a,
can't stop.
I'm not familiar with this, but like, there's people I know who like hate watch TV shows. That's this is like, now I like sort of understand, because I'm like, oh, like, I hate every character in this show. And by the show, I mean the game. And it was still kind of like fascinating, even though it was not pretty basketball and people were missing shots and Nick Batum became the hero and campaign made it a huge appearance. And it was just,
campaign hit a three and I was just like, that's ridiculous.
I legit forgot he was like on the team, and then I was like, oh, there he is, like Leo DiCaprio pointing meme. Like, it was bad, man. And I like you said, I wasn't impressed with either team. So like, in the Strickland's game chat, you know, the big topic of discussion was like, oh, like, let's use this game to evaluate who you would rather play, the Miami Heat and their Devil Magic, or the Sixers and potentially Joel Embiid. And I think it was probably a fairly even split at the beginning, and by the end it was almost like unanimous in there. Like, everybody was like, Joel can't move, they're depending on like Nick Batum no dip threes, and you know, bamboozled by the zone of the Heat. And like you said, I mean, the Sixers weren't good rebounding, neither were the Heat. It was just,
yeah, I'm just looking at this right now, the Sixers gave up 18 offensive rebounds on 52 missed shots by the Heat. Honestly, I can't believe the Heat only missed 52 shots last night. But that's basically that would be a league leading offensive rebound percentage. That's basically what the Knicks offensive rebound percentage is, right around 33%. So yeah, not great. Not great. And Miami is a terrible offensive rebounding team. They're 24th in offensive rebound percentage for the season. So yeah. I don't know. It's
without Joel, they're just not a team that can pose a lot of questions that are hard to answer for opposing coaches. That's kind of like the way I look at playoff matchups. And SJ, I'm curious what you think about either of those bum ass teams. But like, to me, I'm like, okay, you know, Spo could maybe cook up some funky stuff, and Nurse can do some funky stuff too. But like, between Joel playing hurt and then later Jimmy playing hurt, it's like, severely reduces the kind of,
well, Jimmy Butler out for several weeks, whatever that means.
Yeah. Did we find, I don't keep, like, I was tired, I went to sleep. Like, what did he was playing on a, what was it? A torn MCL?
It's, well, they said, probably they said, sprain.
They said, okay. But isn't a sprained ligament effectively like a partial tear of the ligament anyway? Isn't that how it is? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Please, nobody quote this or kill me because I'm wrong. I don't know. But yeah, it's a sprained MCL. I don't know what the hell that exactly means. You know, look, was I thinking that Jimmy might be performing an act for all of us on TV last night? Yes, I was thinking that. I felt a little bit bad about that after the news came out that he actually did sprain his MCL and will now miss time. But yeah, I mean, that sucks for them, obviously. But, you know, obviously in retrospect, you'd be like, well, I kind of wish they had won now, because we get to play them without Jimmy Butler. I'd feel really good about our chances there, as long as Bam doesn't want to injure anybody. But, you know, it's not what happened. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I think the Knicks have acted in the right way, where if you believe you're really good, if you believe, hey, there's no team in this league, conference, whatever, that we need to be scared of, we believe that we can beat anybody on any given night, in any given series, or whatever, then act like it. And like I respect that they were like that they approached these games that way. And you know, that's obviously historically been a limitation to Tibbs teams. It's been a criticism that like, hey, they get to the playoffs, they don't have much more. I think this team has a lot more answers than previous versions of the team. They have lineups and different combinations of players, different sizes, whatever that they can throw out there. It's unfortunate, obviously, Julius isn't healthy. But I just think they're threatening. And honestly, a large part of that has to go down to Tibbs because he's utilizing the roster that he has in ways that I wouldn't expect. Like he's routinely been running all three centers in games. And I know some of that is enforced because Mitch is on a minutes limit and Hartenstein, I think, was on a minutes limit until now. Pretty sure he said today that he could, he's like, yeah, I can play 30 plus now. But like, I was impressed. Like, and he went to Achiuwa late in that fourth quarter into overtime against Chicago, and Achiuwa was really good. And he even referenced, yeah, you know, with Precious, we can switch more, and he has switched more when he uses Precious at the five. So it's stuff like that, small things, those type of adjustments that I think are really positive. To go back to the play-in game, SJ, I mean, I don't know, like, I had honestly not watched Embiid during his little comeback here at the end of the season. So all I'd seen were like the numbers and some clips here or there. I don't know if you would watch him at the end of the season, but like, I don't know. I'm kind of shocked that he's playing even because it just looks, it looked really, I don't know, maybe I'm gassing it up, but to me it just looked painful watching him.